The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. I'm joined on the phone today by Rohan Passari, CEO and co-founder of Cielfo. We find out more about the aspirations of our students and why overseas studies is still so appealing despite the pandemic conditions. Rohan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clarissa. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why don't we start with you giving us an overview of the survey results and some of the key takeaways that you found?
Yeah, we did a survey with over 4,000 students on our platform. I really focused on what the student sentiment was around studying abroad and the impact of that because of COVID-19. And overall, we saw that, of course, there are new concerns amongst students and parents. But despite all of that, the interest in studying overseas is still very strong. Over 60% of the respondents said that the pandemic had no impact on their overseas education plans, which was really surprising for us, which bumped the expectations of the pandemic dampening enthusiasm about higher education overseas.
So you assumed before you started the survey that students would maybe be a bit more reticent to travel, go overseas to study because of the uncertainty surrounding but the pandemic, but you didn't find that.
Yeah, you know, because I was reticent, to travel for work, weren't we all? But that has not really translated to overseas undergrad education, at least.
All right. Did you have any indication of what the appeal of an overseas education was?
And that's what it really goes back to, right? The fundamentals of why a family or a student really wants to study overseas. And, you know, we distilled it down to three factors based on the responses we got. One was living abroad and gaining new life experiences was a huge draw. You know, exploring new cultures, making international connections. The destination, in most likely cases, had better academic programs or better fit academic programs than their home country. And finally, the destination country had better employment opportunity than their home country. So those three things fundamentally has not changed with the pandemic. And people are making more long-term choices. Unlike when you're traveling for work, you're making short-term choices and short-term ROI on that travel. But when you're looking to study overseas, these are fundamental reasons, and those are more life-changing, more long-term impact. So it does not get affected, or is not getting affected as we see with the pandemic.
All right. Now, one of the things that I noticed with your research was that 60% of high school students from around the world really wanted overseas education for their higher education. Here in Singapore, it was 61%. Now, there are some practical reasons for that. Not every Singaporean student, Singapore-based student, can make it into the local university. So a lot of those students have to be looking overseas. Were there other factors that were taken into consideration? I mean, 61%, that's quite high.
Not being able to get into the local university is one of them, but also using education as a way for social mobility, living abroad, gaining new life experiences is a key reason, right? And then looking at different academic programs. So similar to, you know, what I said in my previous answer. Also, our respondents in Singapore particularly were a lot of students studying in international schools, and that also had a role to play in that high percentage.
Right. Okay. Now let's talk about the pandemic. How has that affected the application process for overseas universities?
Yeah. So it was interesting to see that the application process has not fundamentally changed. What has changed are the key considerations that go into the decision-making. From the student's side to study abroad, and two, on the university side, the process of enrollment. Now, if you look at American colleges, a lot of them went to become a test blind or a test optional university. And what does that mean? So most of American universities need a standardized test like the SATs or the ACTs. And now those tests are taken physically without the ability for the students to take those tests. These colleges became test blind or test optional. Now in the UK as well, a lot of the A-level exams were canceled in a lot of countries. The IB exams were canceled and UK universities started using predicted grades to admit students. So a lot of that happened with the pandemic. Now also the vaccination mandates, travel restrictions, flights and visas continue to prove to be a major factor, both in terms of applications for for students and for enrollment for these universities.
Okay, that's actually interesting because those entry tests that you're talking about, the SATs, for example, I hated doing them. I would have been thrilled.
Nobody loved them.
I would have been thrilled if I didn't have to have done them. All right. Now, are there new regulations for these students coming in? Other than I'm sure earlier this year there was a lot of quarantining and those things. Are those regulations going to start easing up?
Well, we spoke to a few universities and we constantly speak with them. And in one of our recent webinars that we did with University of Toronto in Canada, Brown University in the U.S., we learned that the common goal for these universities is to ensure international students get support and the help they need to be safe and healthy. But how they're going about that and the regulations really are varying from country to country. And in a country as big as America, it gets further complicated because different states have different regulations and different requirements. For example, the universities that I mentioned, they are all making vaccinations mandatory for international students. And the vaccinations need to be WHO-approved vaccines. But if the students have not been able to get those vaccinations, they are arranging vaccinations for them and offering quarantine options with virtual classes for students until they get the WHO-approved vaccines on campus. But it's not the same, you know, across the world, and, you know, it changes from country to country. And also, what's interesting is that this keeps evolving, and it's constantly changing at this point, and it will keep changing until things stabilize a little further.
And that is true. It is constantly different. But I'm actually curious, have any of the young people's attitudes in looking at international education, the fact that there's potentially lockdowns, there's potentially this hybrid learning where you're not actually in your classrooms, in your lecture halls, you are studying from, you know, via Zoom, from your dorm room. Did that change their attitudes towards overseas education at all?
Not really. You know, going back to that, the big number of 60% students saying they had no impact on it, the COVID-19 had no impact on their overseas education plans. Again, it surprises us as well. But, you know, maybe it is for the students, you know, trying to stay away from their home government. And home government, I mean their house, the government.
The parents,
house.
You mean.
The parents, yes. As you may think it is for you, Clarissa, with your children. But it's not changing. Again, I think students are making more long-term decisions. Mm-hmm. They definitely want a on-campus experience. They don't think an undergrad education for them is about just getting the learning imparted at their homes. So it's a lot about that.
Right, okay. I mean, from my personal experience, my son, who is currently studying overseas and has been since just before the start of this whole pandemic thing, he's actually been able to find a way to have a good time, make friends on campus without the home government of parents overseas, you know, despite the lockdowns and despite all the ensuing COVID-19 restrictions. I think he's had a great experience and I don't think he would have traded that in for anything.
Yeah, there you go. And I think as much as the travel, inter-country travel has been, you know, not that easy across the world, but within the country, I think, you know, most countries have opened up to allow for their populations to mingle a little more than what it was 6 months back or 1 year back, right? And I know Australia is an exception, but most countries have sort of eased out within their country.
All right. Now, were there other interesting trends, particularly among the respondents from Asia, as opposed to those from other parts of the world in your survey?
Yeah, two interesting things we found from students in Asia. 72% of the students surveyed in APAC said that the university reputation was the top priority when searching for a university. And this was much higher than students in the Middle East and Latin America, as much as 15% higher than students in Latin America. The other big thing in Asia was the role of the family and parents specifically in university decisions. Parents are the biggest influence for students in Asia compared to other regions.
Perhaps because parents are paying for it.
Yeah. Well, while that is true in all parts of the world, they play a much bigger role in Asia.
All right. Do you have any advice for students who are keen to pursue an international education, you know, despite the uncertainties, although some of the uncertainties and some of the restrictions are starting to lift and countries are starting to open, there still are going to be uncertainties because COVID is going to stay with us and the situation is going to remain fluid. So do you have advice?
Yeah, I think parents listening to this conversation would want me to say, listen to your parents.
Yes,
but
it won't, though.
That is true. That is true. So the key advice I would say is do your research, you know, as a student, not only on the institution you're looking to attend, but also on the country and the state. Because with the constant changing regulations, with travel, visa, vaccinations, you don't want these things to affect your ability to actually enroll and enter into that country. Apply to multiple destinations, so hedge your bets. We see that on our platform, students applying to more countries than ever before. So if you're looking to study overseas and if your top choice country is Australia, also apply to Canada, UK, you know, just more countries to hedge your bets. So if you don't, if you can't travel to Australia, for example, you know, you have other countries. And I'm just using Australia as an example, right? So apply to multiple destinations, number two. And number three would be keep your options open. We hear that a lot of students, or the concerns of students is that they don't want to pay a full tuition for an online-only experience, even if it is for 1 or 2 years. And so don't be afraid to take a gap year if you're not able to travel to your university that you're enrolling into and see if they can allow you to take a gap year and still enroll a year later. So keep your options open. Don't be afraid to take a gap year. 1 year may seem a long time when you're 18 or 19, but, you know, over a lifespan of 70, 80 years, you know, it doesn't really matter as much. Seek the advice of, you know, your country's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in case of Singapore, and register with the embassy of your country once you're overseas. They'll be your go-to advice, especially concerning immigration, health and safety.
Right. No, that is actually very good advice. If anyone who asks me about overseas education for their kids, that is my first piece of advice. Register with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in whatever country you're going to be in. And COVID has proven how important that step is, because otherwise they wouldn't have had the right information at the right time at the start of COVID.
Exactly.
Now let's talk about from the perspective of the universities. How can the universities ensure that they remain attractive and relevant for students who want that international education?
Yes, and there are three parts to that. One is families. Students in particular want to return to an on-campus, in-person university experience. But until that happens, and it will, there may be a form of blended education. And universities must continuously invest in digital tools to replicate or enhance those offline experiences into an online one. And, you know, universities are not known for its rapid move into technology, but this COVID has forced them to, and that mindset has shifted drastically, and they need to continue moving in that direction. The other thing for universities is to continue to focus on students' safety, well-being, which is very obvious in the time of COVID-19, but also students, the Gen Z, care about inclusion, social justice, environmental protection, and the universities that make a genuine and long-term commitment to supporting these core generational values and learning experiences will be the best positioned to benefit from the way the move towards the new form of education.
Now, as far as parents are concerned, universities didn't give us a break financially or rebates in school fees. So that's something for parents and students aspiring to study overseas have to think about and take into consideration. The other thing that I saw with my own children is any kind of offers for scholarships or partial scholarships did kind of go away through the COVID period. So that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, you know, if you think about the universities as a business, right?
Mm.
They haven't done so well during the pandemic for obvious reasons.
Sure.
While some have benefited from increasing applications, but a lot of them, you know, because of decreasing enrollments or because of their country's regulations not being able to accept international students, have struggled with you know, their finances, which allows them to, you know, give out less scholarships. And, you know, the example that I give, the advice rather than that I give to students is to take a gap year or, you know, hedge your bets.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be very welcoming advice for the university perspective, right? Because if the students take a gap year, that means no tuition fees for the
sure.
universities and
sure.
less ability for them to give scholarships to other students.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's so much to think about when you look at an international education, but at the end of the day, it's what you get out of it. And one of the first things you said was the exposure, the experience, life somewhere else. I think anything that broadens your horizons, and that's the whole point of education in the first place, is broadening your horizons, is not a bad thing.
Exactly. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, right? I mean, you don't do an undergrad education, you know, in most cases again and again. You know, you can debate whether you want to do this work travel or not. You know, can I do this over Zoom or can I do this next year? Do I need to attend this wedding? Can I postpone my wedding? You know, but an undergrad education has a different decision-making criteria.
Sure.
And it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, which is more than the impact of COVID-19.
Absolutely. We've been speaking with Rohan Pasari, CEO and co-founder of Cialfo, talking about the educational aspirations of our students. It's been a fun conversation. Rohan, thanks so much for the information.
Appreciate it, Clarissa. You have a good day.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.